Welcome to the Midweek Focus. Ricky Klaverkamp here, and I'm joined by Takina McCary. It is the first week of the month, and Takina, it's the 4th of July week.
It is. It's going to seem like a short week, I think, because the 4th lands on a Friday, so
yeah,
it's going to be different.
Yeah, it's a four-day work week this week. I can't believe that we're already in July, to be honest.
Same. I don't know what happened to June.
The days just flew by. Flew by, indeed. We talked a little bit last month, getting the nights at the nursery going back and going. We got the schedule set up now. So what do we got?
We do. Yeah. So I wanted to share that with everybody, especially here in the Oaks community today. So this will be our second annual. We call it Nights at the Old Nursery. Basically what it is tours that last anywhere from a half hour to an hour of the property. We take you around on, we call it a people mover. It's a trailer with seats on it, and we pull you around. And
basically a hayride, but
yeah,
without the hay.
Kind of. It's just you're not sitting on pokey hay.
Yeah.
It's fairly comfortable. We answer questions. We talk about projects that are going on. Mm-hmm. It was really fun last year. Last year, we just had a nice variety of people, and so it was fun because questions were always different. I would say every night ended up being just a little bit different based on questions that people were asking.
Yep.
So that was fun. I felt like somebody could have been on every tour and maybe learned a little something different. So the same thing is happening this year, except this year we're going to do more of those tours and just spread them out a little bit. Because really, I would say, you know, every week or two, things are just changing out there. Mm-hmm. So what we have in July, we have two dates, the 15th and the 29th.
All right.
And all of the tours are going to start at 6:30. And we just encourage people to meet there in the main parking lot. So July 15th and 29th, August 6th and 20th, and then September 9th and 24th. So we're going to have posters around, mm-hmm. and I'll talk about it in August and September just as reminders. But yeah, we're just encouraging people to come out. It's usually starting where the temperature starts to cool off. If it's a little too cool, we do have tarps if it's mm-hmm. not horrid rain. But again, we would keep, you know, everybody updated if we did have to cancel. So, well, like I said, we will explain projects that are going on, things that we have planned for the future. We also like to get feedback from the community.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's there for the community to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something that you think, wow, this would be really cool, please don't hesitate to tell us, because we would love to try to find an opportunity to make that happen.
Absolutely.
So again, we are located just south Oaks. It's like, what, a mile and a half south of the mm-hmm. stoplight on the east side of the road is our main parking lot. So, and these tours are sponsored not only by the Soil Conservation District, but also by the North Dakota Natural, and then Dickey County Farmers Union has also helped us out this year. So that's all right. Been really nice. So we'll have some light refreshments. And like I said, it's just a fun time. Grab a friend, come on out.
And I understand the flowers are coming in nicely out there.
They are. So that's also been really fun. Although I feel like along with the flowers, some mosquitoes have came too, but that's okay. Figure out how to brave them. But yes, so that's been some of the things that I've personally noticed. Yellow coneflowers, which are just such a delicate looking flower, and they're just very prolific right now. We have some of our blanket flowers. And then a couple different ones, and honestly, the name is escaping me, but there's a couple purple ones that are blooming right now, and they just kind of have a really neat, a coworker described it as almost like an orchid shape. So I just, again, I feel like every time I'm out there walking, I notice something different, and it just keeps it fresh, so to speak. It's not just the same thing every time. So get out there. Use your little Google ID if you don't know what something is. Take time to learn about it. And that's also something we're going to be, we have that QR code walking trail set up. And we're going to change that here in the next couple weeks to actually, each of those will focus on a wildflower that you're going to see out there. So as you go around there, you'll be able to learn about different ones.
Awesome.
So,
And I understand you had another one last thing here to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and I just kind of thought that just led into how you can incorporate, we've talked briefly about it before, but just how to incorporate pollinator gardens into your own landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And not just any garden, not just a flower garden, but something that's specific for pollinators.
Yeah.
And because what's happening is the natural habitats for these pollinators are just, we're losing more and more. I had seen a figure that says it's calculated each year that more than 2 million acres in the U.S. are urbanized.
Mm.
So that means that green space is lost, and it's becoming like fragmented for these pollinators.
Yeah.
So even if you can have a small area, it's going to be beneficial. Maybe it's just a flower box or a pot, or maybe it is like a dedicated corner or a flower bed in your yard. So what you can do, there's a couple interesting resources. So there's a website called Dakota Legacy Initiative. And on there, they actually have, it's kind of an interactive tool where it helps you plan your pollinator garden.
Hmm.
So you can say, I have a 20 square foot area. And what it will do is it will ask you, like, what kind of sun exposure, what kind of soil is there? Things that you're easily able to figure out, and then it's going to recommend plants based on height, what you're trying to attract. I mean, some people are really into and think it's really cool to see bees, but other people are really into butterflies.
Yep.
And so that's going to help you through that process, because the way, depending on what you want to attract is going to depend, or that's going to dictate what plants would be best to put in there.
Do you want the giant bumblebee bumbling around, or do you want the nice pretty butterfly?
Yep. And honestly, there's some plants that are great for both.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. But I just appreciate that tool because, like I said, it gives you a nice description, talks about like what their maximum height, their spread. Are they going to, I think this is a big one, are they going to spread like by rhizomes in the soil, and pretty soon I'm going to have this certain plant all over, or does it kind of stay put?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you maybe you want to limit its spread, it explains how to remove the seed heads.
Yeah.
So they don't go all over in your other flower beds. So just a lot of neat tips for that. And again, that website was called Dakota Legacy Initiative. And so that's one that we've really been encouraging people to look at. We've had a few people actually coming into the office, and they're doing some new construction, and they said, hey, I have this half acre behind my house. What can I do with it? I just want it to be wild, but a good wild. So that's been fun.
Controlled wild.
Yes, yes. But, you know, they know that they want the deer back there. They want to see the pheasants and the different things, and they have the, you know, the right area to do that. So it's been fun to design some of those mixes, and that's something that we're always able to do. But like I said, just because we work with people on a larger scale like that doesn't mean that we don't have resources for people are just in town.
Again, one pot.
Yes, exactly. You live in an apartment, Ricky. You need a pot.
I need a single pot. That
a pot of flowers.
A pot of flowers and a pot of basil.
There you go.
And there we go. But
yep.
Yeah. No, and it's I do regret not seeing as many. We don't see as many monarch butterflies around anymore. We don't.
Yeah.
And
we've, you know, last year I remember it was kind of neat out at the nursery. They seemed towards the fall, they really loved the pine trees. That was interesting. You drive along there and they, like in the evening when they're resting, I don't know if you call it roosting, but they would just be like loaded for a couple weeks there with monarchs, and I thought that must just be how they're migrating through.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're right, they are still around, but I have yet to see my first one. I'm waiting for my caterpillars. I love to every once in a while snag a couple, and
I'm waiting for my first. I haven't seen a bee yet this year.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen a few small ones. So.
I've had a couple mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And that was only because I was walking my in-law's dog out by the softball diamonds.
Okay. There is a large moth that I saw last week, and I know another family had seen it. It's about the size of your palm, and it's a silk moth.
Nope.
And
I don't deal with that.
Oh, come on.
I don't deal with that.
They're beautiful.
I'm sure it can be beautiful from the other side of the street. And I don't need to look at it.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of different pollinators. Yep. Ricky evidently likes bees.
I like the bumblebee. I like the bumblebee. It just bumbles around.
Okay.
The wasp, on the other hand, burned with a flamethrower. But
anyway, lots of options.
Lots of options, and I'm sure you guys are willing to help. What's your guys' number? Where are you guys located?
Yep. So phone number 349-3653, extension 3. That's in Ellendale, is our main office, but this time of year, we're out and about a lot. I just encourage people, if you see our vehicles out at the old nursery, stop on in. We'd be happy to chit-chat.
Ask questions.
That's right.
Ask questions. Takina, always a pleasure. We'll talk again next month.
Thank you.
That's Takina McCary here on the Midweek Focus.